Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen with you. This morning, I wonder what we're going to talk about. Earnings. 159 earnings reports after the close yesterday. Another 90 earnings reports this morning. So a lot to get to. Obviously, the big guns, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Google. We'll talk about that. Two guests on the docket for today. Our first guest is Harsh Kumar. He is a senior research analyst at Piper Sandler. He is their Apple analyst. He'll join us at 8:15. Break down that Apple report for us. And then at 8:35 or 8:40, we'll be joined by Jason Raznick, who's the founder and CEO of Benzinga. Before I throw it to Joel, I want to first welcome all of our listeners from the Benzinga Bootcamp. We are going to do our very best over the course of this hour to inform and entertain you, not necessarily in that order, but you get the point. If you are a listener of the show and you want to join our bootcamp, you can still do that. Go to BenzingaBootcamp.com. Joel and Dennis will be speaking at the bootcamp at 12:50 p.m. Eastern time. So again, BenzingaBootcamp.com. And again, welcome to all of our Benzinga Bootcamp listeners. Now, Joel, give us a quick update here on what has happened in the overnight trading session.
We got the S&P's up 10 3/4 handles. We were much higher though, folks. And I just want to alert everybody, I got a nice blue line up there. It's coming across at 72.75, but your pre-market high is 73.75. And we've hit that three different times. So that's a huge level. Hit that last night, sold off, able to get back just below the close, believe it or not, at 48.75. So pre-market low, 45.75. Real good parameters. We'll see what happens at mid-range on the session and see if we can get up and take out that triple top. We have crude trading in the green by 38 cents at 40.30. So holding that $40 level. Gold crosses the 2000 barrier. Current high is 2005.40, currently up $26 at 1993. Silver joining the party, up 95 cents at 24.31. And Bitcoin doesn't want to be left out of the rally. That's trading up $190 at 11,560. Triple D, I hope you ripped that sell button off your keyboard last night, because you could have gotten run over.
Yeah, I kind of did, actually. I do a little market making on some ETFs, and I made sure I canceled all the technology ETFs because I'm like, you don't make markets on when the news hits. And then, of course, I forgot one out there, and I did get picked off. It was a growth ETF, and as soon as Apple reported, I got filled. I was like, oh. So anyways, it's one of those nights where it's just very challenging from an arbitrage perspective because there is so much impact from three companies. I mean, you look at the big guns that were reporting, but Apple, 5.8% of the S&P, Amazon, 4.85% of the S&P, Facebook, 2.1% of the S&P. And then if you look at Google, obviously that's a significant portion as well. If you go into the Qs, it's even more skewed. With the Qs, if we just break down the weightings there, Apple's 12%, Amazon's 11%, Facebook's 4%, and then Google's another 7%. So when you add all those up, 12, 23, 27, 32, so you had 32% of the index of the Qs reported last night just on those top components. So obviously the entire game for the most part in the Qs is pretty much those stocks, because we can look at Apple this morning trading up 6.95%. You can look at Amazon this morning trading up 6%. Google turned around and Google's given back some of the gains, but Facebook's still up substantially, up over 6% as well. So what's that tell you? It tells you when the S&Ps are only up 0.6%, it tells you there's going to be a lot of non-tech stocks that go down today.
Go down. Yep.
Yes. And that's just the arbitrage behind it. So if you look and you're wondering, you know, well, I'm long the stock, the market's up, why is my stock down? A lot of the banks, very weak here today. You're going to see some rotation happening, but that's just the arbitrage effects of the index. Because when you've got, you know, three companies making up the bulk of the game, that means the overall market really isn't up here this morning. And that's, you know, people just come in and they say, oh, the S&Ps are up 20. It's going to be a good day for my stock. Well, the S&P 20-point gain, the majority of that gain is those three stocks that we just mentioned.
What do you do when you get picked off like that?
You scramble. You try to cover as best you can. You look to pick off somebody else. You do what you can. You know, and sometimes you just have to eat the loss. I'm out there, and obviously I screwed up. It was my screw up by leaving an ETF out there that I knew I could get picked off on. But, you know, I'm using algorithmic trading for that. So I take certain ones out of my system because I don't want to make a market in something that's going to have new earnings, you know, come out all of a sudden. And then, you know, you can, it's a manual error where I just missed. I missed taking out with the one growth ETF.
All right, let's do a couple reports because we have Harsh Kumar at Piper Sandler, Managing Director, is going to come on and talk about the Apple report. So do you just want to do that real quickly and then move on to Amazon?
Yeah. Let's go into Apple because there is a twist to this, and that is the stock split. So Apple blew it away on all their numbers. EPS, $2.58 versus a $2.04 estimate. Sales, 59.7 versus $52.25 billion. They grew revenue year over year on all their segments: iPhone, wearables, services, iPad, a Mac. I mean, they just blew the numbers away. And then I mentioned that stock split, a 4-for-1 stock split effective of the August 24th close. So let's talk about what the stock is doing and then why that stock split does or doesn't matter.
I mean, the stock split matters, and it's been a while since we saw a stock split. So obviously the investors are going to buy it hand over fist. I mean, from a mechanics perspective, it's not like you're getting more money because of splitting the stock, but people think stock's going to come down to $100. It's going to, you know, now more people are going to buy it with fractional shares on Robinhood. You wonder if that's even an issue, but in any regard, stock splits are always perceived positively. Up 7%. I'm not surprised. New all-time high here for Apple. I'm still long Apple in the long-term portfolio. Like I said, not selling it. Been in it since $100, so I guess I'm sticking with it. I guess I'm taking it through the split. It's a huge windfall for anybody who took this overnight. I mean, the earnings were good. The split really drives it, though, too. So because
Apple was not a stranger. Apple was not a stranger to stock splits. This is their fifth stock split.
They do them. I was on the wrong side when I did that straddle, and they did the 7-for-1. I was like, oh no.
That was 6 years ago. Yep, that was 20.
So it does. They aren't a stranger to stock splits. So it's not out of the realm that they do this. I mean, it's been the cool thing in the last decade that we don't split our prices because we got the really high price. So, you know, that you look at Google and it's trading, and although Google did do a split, 15.27. I mean, Tesla obviously trading up at 15.25, Amazon trading up at 3,000. You know, Warren Buffett was the first person that said stock splits are useless because, you know, it's accounting and they got to go through it all, and it really doesn't add any value to shareholders. But then Berkshire Hathaway, Berk.A, does have the Berk.B listing. So Warren kind of gets it too at the same time. So, in any regard, and Berk.B did split a number of years ago too. So Warren has even gotten on the split train to a certain extent, but you don't see as many as you used to.
Okay. And there's a great question from the chat about does this affect SPY? Well, yes and no. It really affects.
It won't affect SPY.
It will affect SPY as it relates to the diamonds, the DIA, right?
It won't affect SPY at all. It will affect diamonds.
No,
it affects SPY zero. It affects diamonds.
Okay. The Dow Jones index is price weighted, right? Mm-hmm. So what this is going to do is this is going to make Apple less of a weighting in that index. And the ETF is DIA, right? So that ETF is going to lag SPY. It already lags it, but it's going to lag it even more now because assuming Apple keeps going up, because Apple will be less of a weighting in that index.
I mean, this is why we've argued against the Dow for a number of years. The index is poorly constructed. One, there's only 30 stocks, so it's not a good representation of what's happening there. And then two, the stocks that have a higher price have more of a weight in the index, which seems silly as well. SPY is market cap weighted. So market cap will not change on this. That's why the SPY will be unaffected. But you're absolutely correct. The DIA will be affected. And Apple will have 1/4 of the weighting that it did after the split.
For our new listeners, we have the 15-minute chart, which the different colors are tracking the after hours in pre-market trading, and then you have the daily and monthly over here. I mean, not a lot you could say technically on this. I will just, looking at this action, someone wants to sell a little stock here at 414. I'm looking here at the 15-minute brackets, and you see several highs, 1395, 1338, 1340. Will that seller get mopped up and higher prices? Sure. But right now, if you wanted to use one number to focus on today for continued upside in Apple, it's getting over that 414 seller.
You're at all-time highs. Stocks making all-time highs, I don't short them. I mean, you can look at an after-hours chart or pre-market chart, and you can find like a point where maybe there was a seller a little bit there, but there's really no resistance up here. So stocks making new all-time highs, I do not short. With that being said, am I chasing it up, 27 points here? No, again, the name of the game is buy the dip, sell the rip. So if you're in it for a trade, maybe book the gain. I'm in it for a long-term investment.
Yep.
It's paid to hold Apple. There's not a lot of stocks that I just hold forever. This is one of them. So it continues to outperform the market.
All right, let's go to the other big dog there. With
Which one? There's another
so many big dogs. 299 stocks, I think, reported yesterday.
Wait, which big dog? To clarify, Joel.
Let's go alphabetically.
Amazon?
Okay, so
Amazon. Does that mean Amazon? Joel's trying to confuse it. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, Joel.
Oh,
I don't want to sit here and have to rank all of the tickers. So I'm going to go Amazon because it is an A, so I'm assuming that's alphabetically.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a second because I was
you
like,
guys,
it's 8 o'clock in the morning. He's
trying
to throw trick questions
at us. Go drink your coffee. Gosh, we got all these new listeners and you're – Hey, anyway, go ahead.
Give us Amazon
numbers. Q2 EPS, $10.30 is what they earned per share last quarter. That was double a year ago, or almost double a year ago. Sales, 88.9 billion versus 81.5 billion. That sales number grew. We said yesterday on the show that they were expected to grow 30%. Sales grew 40% year over year. They did give some Q3 sales guidance. Surprise, surprise. It was above the estimate. Pretty much nothing bad you can say here either.
We knew it was going to blow it away. It was a matter of was it all priced in or not. Apparently it wasn't. It was a real blow away. I mean, like we said, me and Joel, we got Amazon packages showing up on doorstep 3 times a day. So up 189 points. I am long Amazon. I stay long Amazon. It is like Apple. It is now part of the core of my long-term investment portfolio. And people who say Amazon are overvalued, when you look at it to sales, it's not crazy. So I can see, I think it was UBS raise their price target to 4,000. I could see Amazon being a $4,000 or $5,000 stock eventually. Is it going to go straight there? No. Is it going to be pullbacks to buy? Yes. Buying the pullback is always a better idea than buying the rip.
That initial spurt here, just shortly after the number came out, you got to 32.62, and now just kind of hanging out at 32.40. And 32.40 was a prior daily high right here. So, I mean, right now, that's where we're pausing, 32.40.58. So, I really couldn't be an aggressive buyer between 32.40 and 32.60. I mean, that's a pretty wide open area. It looks like you're finding mild intraday support here or pre-market support at 32.20. Still off the all-time high. I don't know if we're going to see that today. That's up at 33.44. 29, but kind of tame trading after that initial move up, Dennis, trading in like a 20-point range.
Well, they
here.
All did. Look, they all have the initial spike right on the reports, and then they all were pretty tame after that. There wasn't the whipsaw action. They just priced to, they repriced right for the new information, and it was tame. You know, and the S&Ps ramped up really fast, and then they kind of hung out there all night, too. I know the S&Ps overnight came down. I don't know, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking going scratch with this many stocks up. But if the S&Ps go flat here today, you're going to see a lot of stocks red. I mean, I'm going to say it again. There is going to be a lot of stocks down today. You're up 18 points here. It's not enough to make up for just these tech gainers in themselves. So, like, I'm looking at my filter, and I see just a ton of stocks trading in the red. And, some of these are earnings, but some of these have, just no news at all. And think about the QQQ components. We've talked about this trade before, too. When you have, there's 15 to 20 components of the QQQ that are really not tech stocks, those are the ones they'll probably pick on. So, Starbucks, you're wondering why Starbucks is trading down today? it's part of the QQQ, and it's definitely not a tech stock. So if they're looking to sell something to make up the difference, it's going to be a Starbucks. It's going to be a Kraft Heinz, KHC, which is another one, which is in the QQQs. People think the Qs are just 100 tech stocks. Kraft Heinz is in the QQQ. Why it's in there, I don't know, but it is. Mondelez is in there, MDLZ. And you've got other ones that are
in there. Monster's in there.
Monster Beverage is in there, MNST. It's probably going to be down today. That is why, you know, there's obviously, you know, that play. And I do that from the arbitrage perspective, too. When you have the techs just leading the charge and Qs aren't up really that much more than what, you know, is made up of those three stocks, you know, it makes you, you know, think there's going to be other stocks that are probably going to be down. CSX is in the QQQs. It's a rail. It's in the QQQs. It's probably, at least unless, you know, we see a collapse in the price of Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google, I would think CSX probably opens down today, despite the S&Ps being up 19 points. And that's just understanding the arbitrage effects.
All right. Let's bring on our first guest here, Harsh Kumar. He's a senior research analyst at Piper Sandler. Harsh, thanks for joining us. What was your first reaction to the Apple report yesterday?
So we were thrilled with what we heard. Of course, there was a very nice beat in the quarter itself. The company didn't really guide at all, but I don't think that's a problem. What I really like here is the fact that they're getting a complete benefit from work to home, distance learning opportunities with the Mac and the iPad. But then what was really interesting was that the iPhones grew 2%. That hasn't happened in a long time for the June quarter to come through like that. And I think if you think about it, the iPhone is, or any phone for that matter, is a very productive device. You have your laptop as a number one productivity device, and then right after that is your phone. And I think the phone is getting some benefit from that. I think also you had the reopening start to happen in the May and June timeframe, which also helped. And then stimulus. Apparently, a lot of the stimulus money went into Apple devices as well. So all in all, solid quarter, and we really like the setup for next year.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, fiscal year 21, setting up to be a banner year. I don't even want to show people the iPhone I have because it's so old and everything. I know I'm going to be buying one, but talk about the factors that are going to make fiscal year 21 a banner year.
Okay, so let's start with the fact that Apple's fiscal year ends in September. And we know last night that they admitted that they've delayed the phone by a few weeks, which means it's going to come out, call it October, which would put it squarely in 1Q fiscal. So it'll be the start of a very good fiscal 21 would be the December quarter when the iPhone 5G gets launched. I'm going to give you some anecdotal data point here. The last time Apple did a technology upgrade was in 2012. They went to a 4G phone. Units were up a stunning 45% that year. And they went up 20% plus for the next 2 years, culminating in 2014 when units were up around 25%. Now, penetration was a lot lower back then. You know, a lot of people didn't have iPhones. This time it's a little bit different, but units can really go up when there's a technological change. And I think units can go up in the mid, maybe even high single digits for that matter. So that's one thing. With that new iPhone and with the fact that the phone's coming out late, you might get muted seasonality in March. March is usually almost always down, but now the phone is late. It's going to come out in October. Plus, it's going to be a pretty big, you know, upgrade. So you have good March. You have great December. You probably have a better than expected March. And then there's no reason for me to believe that the iPhone 2021 model is going to get delayed. The only reason this year was delayed because of COVID. You know, fingers crossed, COVID is not around at the end of 2021. So you might actually get two new phone launches in fiscal 21. Plus, no reason to believe that December won't have strong iPad because Christmas is going to come around and Mac and everything else that we love about Apple, wearables, services, etc.
All right. Any negatives in the report? I mean, it's kind of hard unless you don't like stock splits. Is there anything in the report that was a little bit disappointing?
You know, the only thing, Joel, that you could raise your eyebrows at and kind of think was not perfect in an otherwise perfect report was the services number. The services number didn't meet my expectation. It was actually slightly off on a sequential basis. And I think the reason for that is a lot of their stores were closed and there's a lot of repair business that comes in. There's a lot of care sign-ons. Also, I think some ad business, perhaps from local restaurants and some other places, slowed down a little bit. So they saw that was probably the only negative thing I can think of. But now the store openings are back on. You know, for most part, they seem to be accelerating as far as store openings are concerned across the globe. So I think that's going to fix itself. And anyways, it wasn't a bad enough of a miss for me to care about it.
And as far as the wearables go, they just, you know, they just haven't really had a huge impact yet on the bottom line. I think a lot has to do with that battery. I don't like having to charge that up any day. But do you see any technological changes in, you know, the wearables to perhaps give that a bigger boost to the bottom line?
Yeah, so I think wearables typically shine in the December quarter timeframe. So everybody, you know, you think about AirPods as the perfect gift, or the watch is the perfect gift for your Christmas. iPad and Macs are, of course, more higher priced gifts. So I think that's when you will see the revenue come through in a big way, is the September, December quarter timeframe, and people start to buy this for gifting activities. You may have seen a little bit of a benefit from productivity. Some people might have picked up AirPods just because they're working more from home. But from a, you know, there isn't a whole lot you can change. Unfortunately, if you want wireless, you have to have a battery. That's just the negative aspect of it. They could probably do a few things to improve on the services side with the lineup. But outside of that, not a whole lot. I think battery is a part of being wireless.
Ron with Harsh Kumar, he's a senior research analyst at Piper Sandler. Harsh, we were talking earlier about the stock split. Do you care about that? Do you think it'll have an impact on the stock and how it trades, how it behaves?
I think I will. I think, look, when stocks get high dollar stocks, they're for large part suitable for institutional investors. Individual investors are left out of, you know, for example, $400 stock, $1,000 stock, $3,000 stocks. It's just not in the realm of possibility to expect somebody to go step up and buy 100, 200, or 1,000 shares of something that is that pricey. So splitting up the stock makes it extremely accessible to your average retail trader. And people know the Apple brand. I think it makes a difference. Brands like Amazon, brands like Apple are well-known and well-accepted by individual investors that now have an opportunity to go buy the stock directly, not from a stock split, you know, not from a fractional share company, but the actual stock itself. I think it matters a lot.
Okay. Yeah. And the point of, yeah, fractional shares, I don't even know if it, the fact that that exists now, it sort of definitely makes this not as big a deal as it maybe used to be. And I just want to get your thoughts on what happened on Wednesday. Do you see any material impact from the ongoing investigations into big tech monopolies? How you think, how Tim Cook or any other CEOs did, or what long-term implications do you see coming out of this storyline?
You know, this is not the first time the Germans try to go after big tech. You know, right? If you recall Microsoft, you know, back in the day, they've been after Facebook for a while. I would say Facebook is a little bit different because it's a hodgepodge of information from individual people. You can question some of the information, but Apple, for most part, is a product company. You know, we have hardware products that drives the bulk of the business. As far as services are concerned, they fix your phone that you bought from them, or they might place an ad for you, but typically they don't like political ads, or they don't do things of that nature very much. And then you have the card. So there's nothing to question. This is just for all practical purposes, this is a product company. There's nothing wrong that they are doing in terms of disseminating false information or influencing politics or anything like that. I think Tim Cook and Apple will be able to walk away from this as they are.
Just a couple questions and then we'll let you go here. You know, pretty small dividend, no dividend raise. There's all that cash sloshing around. I just want to get your comments on that. And then it ebbs and flows with Apple TV, right? It was a big thing a while ago, and then they're wrapping it up again. And now, you know, now with there's more focus on the phone and the iPad and everything. I mean, are they going to do so? Is that really ever going to take off? Or do you think they'll eye any acquisitions or do something to boost that product?
Yeah, let me take the first one first. On the dividend side, they did not raise the dividend. The cash flow went up nicely. Everything is looking good. But they did say that their capital structure policy remains unchanged. They have roughly $80 billion net cash on the balance sheet. And they said that their goal is to be cash neutral. In other words, cash equals debt. So if you simply do the math, there's $80 billion that they have to spend. If the world stopped today, Apple has to spend $80 billion and give it back to investors. And they can fulfill that with debt or just simply give it away, whatever be the case. But that's what you're looking at. There are other ways of making the investors whole. You can do buybacks, which the company has been involved in. There are other things, certainly dividends is a part of it. I think the world is in the middle of a pandemic still. Apple is benefiting, but there's a lot of unforeseen things that can happen. It could get worse. I think it's prudent to just wait it out a bit. Let's get through the end of this. And if Apple's still doing well as we think they are, they could always raise it. The problem with dividends is once you raise it, it's very tough to take it back. And it's usually a very negative sign when you take it down.
Great point. And Harth, before I let you go, give us your rating and your price target.
Yeah, so we love the stock. We just went to $450. We love the stock. Like I said, we love the setup going forward next year. And we don't see anything stopping. The productivity tools, iPad, Macs, phones should all do really well.
All right. Harth Kumar is a senior research analyst at Piper Sandler. Harth, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
All right. Let's keep on going on this earnings parade, guys. Let's go. We did Apple. We did Amazon. Let's go to Facebook here. Facebook had earnings, of course, last night. They were supposed to be on Wednesday, recall, but they had to move it. They moved it to because of the congressional hearing. I'll give you the Facebook numbers here. Q2 EPS, $1.80 versus $1.39 per share. Sales, $18.69 billion versus a $17.4 billion estimate. So they blew away the EPS and the sales estimates. What do they say? Daily active users for the quarter grew 12% year over year. Monthly active users also grew 12% year over year. Advertising revenue over $18 billion.
It's making a new all-time high, but barely. So you got to keep that 250 level in mind. If this thing starts to, you know, get to a point where it starts to fall below 250, think, okay, well, maybe we're not going to make a new all-time high. And then that becomes major resistance where, you know, Apple is very much clearing it. And, you know, it'd take, you know, landslide or some the company saying something for it to get back under 400. Facebook could easily slide under the area of where it's making a new 52-week high. So just keep that in mind. You do have an area of resistance. That's the all-time high at 250.15. We're trading slightly above it right now. So it does look prepared to make a new all-time high. But I'll call 250, still resistance until we're over in the regular session.
Initial spike, you know, after a little digestion, went to 254, just hanging out here at 251.75. Looks like you're finding some mild pre-market and after-hours support at 247.5, 248 area. I don't have my options platform up, but I don't know what people paid for that 250 call. And I don't know what the open interest was either. But what we talked about yesterday was CC Legator, you know, as far as, you know, people like using their options positions to trade around. You could see a lot of that, you know, maybe a pin at 250. But 254, that stands. That's the after hours high in Facebook, new all-time high.
It's the only one of the big guns that I don't own in the long-term portfolio. And I had it there for a while, but I sold it back there during COVID, and obviously that was a big mistake. So, Google.
Well, you're way too hard on yourself, Dennis. All right, going on to Alphabet here. EPS from Google yesterday after the close, $10.13 per share versus an $8.21 estimate. Sales, $38.3 versus $37.3 billion. They also added $28 billion to their buyback program. So they announced buyback of $28 billion to go with a massive earnings and sales beat.
This one went to the red. So this is one that actually has given back the gains. I do have this in the long-term portfolio. I've been in it for probably 7 or 8 years. I'm averaging at $250. So I'm not selling it. I don't know. You have support down at 1500, you know, where you see dippers come in. It's somewhat concerning that it's given back the pre-market gains. That's always, I never like to, you know, jump in a stock that, you know, was up substantially. Now it's went to the red. That's a red flag for me always as a buyer. But, you know, as a trade, I think you got support around 1500.
Yeah, pretty clear support there. I was just going to – I'm looking at the dailies here, and the low from yesterday came in 1492.22, 1501, 1497. Just a lot in that area. So very important for it. It's still 2750 away from that. Pre-market low, didn't even get near that area. So 1500, major support. And then on the upside, if you want a little reset here and you know, you don't think you're going to get up to that all-time high, a pair of highs at 1570 This was back just on the 22nd and 23rd. And then a little bit, even if you're looking for a target below that, 1540.97 was Monday's high. So Google lagging a little bit here this morning.
Can we go to Pinterest? Everybody's talking. This is the mover.
You're right in my mind, Dennis.
This is unbelievable. Woo-hoo! Unbelievable move.
So Facebook is up 7% this morning, and they're being outshone a lot by Pinterest, which is up 36%, 35%, in somewhere in that 35-36% range this morning on their earnings. They'll give you their numbers, adjusted EPS. They did lose 7 cents per share, but they're estimated that they would lose 2 cents. So they beat the estimate. Sales, $272 versus $251 million. Here we go. Active users, global monthly active users grew 39% on a year-over-year basis. 39%.
I'm mad at myself. I've wanted to own this stock. I actually did have it a couple times, and then I scalped on it in the swing trading portfolio, but I always wanted it as a long-term investment, and now it's gone. But just think, this is one of those logic trades. What have people been doing in the last quarter? They're sitting at home playing on their phone. They're probably like, oh, this Pinterest thing's pretty cool. So, you know, you're all stressed out with COVID there, and you do the mind-numbing exercises of just flipping through. And look, and that's from Gene Munster, the mind-numbing thing he says. You know, you're flipping through. You're in social media. You're flipping through. Oh, look at this. Oh, I'll pin this over here. Oh, look at this. Kitchen looks pretty good. Oh, I want to paint. You know, let's go look at some paint colors on Pinterest. I mean, so logic says that they would have, you know, blown it away. But I didn't think about it. You know, it's hard to think about all 6,000 companies all the time. And on a day like this, you're focused on Facebook. You're focused on Amazon. You're focused on Google. You're focused on Apple. And Pinterest just slides right under the radar. And looking back in hindsight, capital's obviously 2020. This should have been an easy call if those average users would have flown. And they did. So congratulations to who thought of that. Obviously, it's easy to think of it after the fact, but egg on my face for not thinking of it.
I won't call it pin interest. I'll call it Pinterest here. Very confusing. My wife has it, and I look at that thing, and I'm like, what? And she has all these things pinned and everything. I mean, it's not for an old guy, blind guy like me, but obviously a lot of people are using it. Hey, you're getting a reset here. If you've been looking for the to sell the old-time high, folks, you just may get that today, 36.83. It's already come a long way up $9. The pre-market high hasn't got there. The pre-market high comes in at 34.75. So I want it to keep going, you know, 34.5, 35. Go up and test that all-time high. If not, I mean, very logical. You could see some profit taking. You did have a little trouble at 33 and dipped at 31. So there's some parameters, but important.
There's a clear resistance point.
Yeah.
But I'm not coming in and shorting off of it.
No.
Where the thing's up 35%, because stocks that go up 35% sometimes go up 45%. So it's an incredible move. It was an incredible quarter. It was predictable, which is why I'm mad at myself.
Snapchat getting a sympathy boost this morning with...
So is Twitter.
So is Twitter for that matter, actually, yeah. So social media trade is on here this morning because of Facebook and perhaps more because of Pinterest.
So if you're not tech, and we can move to the non-tech earnings, I know Caterpillar and Merck are doing okay here this morning, but there is a lot of disappointments really in non-tech land here. There's quite a few stocks that are trading in the red. Gilead down $2.63. If you just fly through them, you can see what there's definitely some clear rotation here today. It's tech trade versus everything else.
Actually,
again,
the farmer trade is a bit of a hit or miss because you had Gilead out yesterday. Their numbers were light. They missed the estimates on both their earnings per share and their sales, though they did raise their guidance. And then Merck this morning is out, and their EPS and sales beat, and they also raised their guidance. So a bit of a mixed bag here for the farmer trade. Gilead down. I haven't seen Merck.
Gilead getting hit hard here. People have been asking me about this one. Am I getting back into it? Oh, man. You know, from a valuation perspective, it's very attractive in the mid-60s. But it is just, what's the story here now? Remdesivir, we milked that story for three months.
How many times?
How many times? And that's why I never got back in. I mean, I couldn't have played it more perfectly. You know, I milked it for 10 points, almost 10 points three times off of those pops. Selling at the pop every time and then rebuying. And I didn't rebuy it the third time because I just felt like the story was getting old. And I feel like the story is old here. And even if you get some positive headlines and redisplay, is that, yeah. And is that going to really make the stock go back to 80, 75? Not this time. It's the story is old. The story has cooled off. And now you have this growth, this biotech that, you know, doesn't have the growth. We know they tried because they went out and bought, was it Kite? I always get, you know, Kite. I believe it was Kite they bought.
Yes, I think it was.
They, you know, when you're struggling, it's like IBM. You're struggling to grow your own company, and you got to go buy the growth with Red Hat and pay a big premium for it. I mean, that's a challenge. Gilead has been challenged here for growth for a long, long, long time. Stocks with P's of 6 and 7 are hated by this market. The market cares zero about the bottom line. It cares about top line growth. Are you growing? Are you getting bigger? Because that's what they want to see. They want to see the growth. Gilead just doesn't have the growth. It's going to remain out of favor. Remdesivir story was cool for a while. It was fun to play. And yes, you know, a lot of traders made some money on it. But the story has cooled off substantially. Is it worth it down the mid-60s from a valuation perspective? There's so much support, 62 to 63. I would say yes. Does it get down that low? I don't know. If it got down to $62, I would probably throw it back in my long-term portfolio because I've had it a few times. But it is a stock that is just not in favor.
And you're kind of breaking down here. That had a trading range for the longest time, you know, 72. And then I think when they got those pops, I think every time that you sold out of it, I think it was in the pre-market or the after hours. I think you got prices that were never seen.
Once I did. Okay. Yeah, once. I think one was the regular session. And I, you know, one was live on the show. I was saying, I'm going to sell it when this was halted. I was like, I'm going to sell it when it reopens. And then obviously, you know, I got out, I think it was like $86 or $87, which it, and that was during, I think that was during the pre-market. Maybe that was the pre-market one, but I mean, it's been a play to sell the pops on this on good news. Is it a play to buy the dip on the bad news of the earnings here? I don't think so. Stock's really out of favor. Look at Intel. And you know, this is, you know, we're going to go back to tech talking for a second here, but I mean, people who come in and say, well, Intel's cheap. It was cheap at 52. It was cheap at 50. It was cheap at 48. I've been saying, I think it's going to 45. Am I going to pull the trigger at 45? I almost don't know if I'm going to. I should, but I mean, people are coming on and saying, oh yeah, you know, buy Intel short AMD. How can you go wrong? AMD is in favor. Intel is not in favor. I have seen things blow out crazy. A story carries a stock a long ways, and the Intel story is cold as ice.
It's continued to make new lows here. Maybe the sellers eventually got to get tired here. But since that earnings report, remember we talked about, hey, maybe if it gets back above that high 52, maybe get interested and see if it can get back up to fill the gap at 60. But every day, actually, first update in Intel was yesterday. No, it wasn't even an update. It was just higher than the open. So it has been down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days in a row. The volume is coming down. So maybe everyone that's, you know, wants to get out of the pool is out here. 47.59 trading up. I don't know. You got a chance here at Intel, but longer term, Dennis
telling
is
me you got
the
a chance.
Month. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
All right.
Let's do a couple more here. I want to do EA. They had earnings out yesterday. Speaking of obvious stay-at-home plays, Q1 EPS, $1.25 versus a 79-cent estimate, sales 1.46 versus $1.05 billion. So a handed beat and a beat for EA on the top and bottom line in their first quarter.
EA, I own in the long-term portfolio. I put it in there when it dipped. Was it last quarter? When did I put EA in there? I think it was last quarter. Let's go look at the charts here. Was it last quarter? Yeah, I think it was in April. And I was just like, the gaming's not going away. And they had a pretty good report, and they hit the stock for $6. I was like, that's silly. So I bought it, I think, 114, and I've had it ever since. It's 141 here now. Is gaming going away? No, I don't think it's going away. And I do think EA, how far are we making new all-time highs?
Not no, quite. We're not. I just looked at that.
151. I think eventually makes all-time highs. I'm holding on to my EA.
Well, dude, this one's pretty quick here. 142. You had on your daily chart, you can see basically three highs in that area, 41.99, 42.31, and then 41.58. So 142 for a continued upside here. You want to see buying this off the open, 142 bid and keep on going. Not holding 142. Some ground to get back here. If you're looking for the top of yesterday's range for Gapfill, 138.84. But that's a quick quick rundown on EA.
Jason Rasick, our founder and CEO, will be joining us here shortly. Before that, let's just do a couple more. Let's just do Exxon and Chevron together here.
Sure.
Out this morning. I mean, do you need me to say the numbers? Chevron missed horribly. Exxon, same thing. And there was a report yesterday from Reuters that Exxon is doing whatever they can to try and save their dividend. And it's never.
And Kramer, love him or hate him, sometimes he makes some very good points. I watch Jim every night. He always makes me laugh. I love Jim Kramer. But, I mean, he's saying, get the hell out of the oil industry. And whenever a caller calls in and talks about an oil stock, he's like, get out of that industry. And he's absolutely correct. And we've been absolutely correct. We have talked down oil stocks for 5 years on this show. Because you have this move to electrification.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now, you know, it's caught, and now it's hot. And dirty oil stocks are not the future of growth. Are they cheap? Sure. Some of them can be cheap, but there's so many problems out there right now. A lot of these oil companies are still going to go under. Chevron and Exxon going to go under? Probably not. Is the ExxonMobil dividend safe at 8.5%? Probably not. I mean, here's a stock and you can say, oh, eventually it's going to be back to $100. Not if people aren't using oil as much. So, I mean, there's obviously just, you know, we still have this move to cleaner energy and oil is not clean energy. So I don't own hardly any. The only exposure I have with oil stocks in my long-term portfolio would be indirectly through an ETF. I used to have oil stocks in there, and I've sold them all. I used to have ExxonMobil. I've sold them all. And they were great sells. I was selling my ExxonMobil at $90 because I was like, I don't want to be part of this story anymore. It's now 40. So Chevron has given you the gift that keeps on giving. It's a stock that continues to come back. It's best of breed. We'll give it that. When this thing got up over $100 back in June, what a gift. Am I buying the dip on Chevron $82? Nope, because I think eventually Chevron is going to get as ugly as ExxonMobil. It's just, I'm sorry, the companies are doing the best they can, but they're in an industry that is under a lot of pressure.
And just think, oil's gone from negative 40 to 41, 42, and these stocks have gone nowhere.
I mean, let's stop, though. That negative 37, right, people are right, saying, that's BS. Oil was never minus $37. It was that one contract that was just screwing people that couldn't take delivery.
It was on paper, but not in reality.
It wasn't because you had to look at that. We had already rolled on the futures contract. We were already trading the next contract. Oil in itself got down. The next contract did get down like $6 or $7.
Though. It did.
That is where you could say you could have actually bought. You know, oil. Anybody who's buying the oil contract at $37 minus 37 isn't selling today at $40. They got burned and they had to sell that day because they couldn't take physical delivery. So anybody who was buying that wasn't making money. But the people who bought oil, the next rolled over contract at $6 actually did make the money. So I will say the low on oil is actually six, not minus 37 that contract was showing.
And that's what the rolling front month contract.
And that's why that chart is good, because you're always trading the front month. So people can actually take delivery of it. Me and Jason were joking. We're going to empty our pools and put oil in there, but we still wouldn't have had enough room for all that oil. So, and obviously they're not going to do that. We were already past the delivery date too. So anybody had to settle up, they had to sell. Unless you were a tanker, and we saw the tankers take off that day too. Obviously, NAT, you know, if you look at that trade too, man, trade blew off. You know, look back to April when oil was going negative and you had all those tanker stocks. They got to have tanker stocks so they can take advantage of negative oil prices. And while oil wasn't negative for very long, and the tanker trade, NAT, up to $9, back at $4.
The guy was on TV.
He said, we're making so much money. that was the best Mad Money interview ever. We're raking it in, he says. Love the accent.
Sold.
That was the top.
Palms out. Palms out on that one.
All right, Jason Rasnick is going to try to join us in 5 minutes. He said he's got a really busy morning. So before then, let's just do some tickers from the chat. I want to get to some of your questions. Dennis, somebody asked if you had done anything with Virtue of late.
I own it. Where is it? Haven't looked at it in a while. Virtue Finance. Oh, you know what? That's a dip I would buy. So I already own it. I was doing really well in it, apparently. When it got up to 26.82, I hadn't looked at it for a while. I bought it. I feel like I bought it right in here, like when it broke out from July. So I guess I should have sold it and rebought it, but I didn't do that. Virtue Financial is obviously a stock I know a lot about. We have a lot of overlapping strategies. We're not technically a high-frequency trading firm, but I mean, there is no technical definition of a high-frequency trading firm. But we do have a lot of overlap in strategies. We're more, Bright Trading is more statistical arbitrage. Virtue is doing that for sure as well, but they're doing a lot of other things as well. They're speed-dependent. We're not so much speed-dependent anymore. We used to be. We used to go head-to-head with them, but we just don't compete on speed anymore. So, because, you know, only one person can win the race. And obviously, with payment for order flow, they've kind of taken speed out of the equation too. We know Virtue, Citadel has relationships with Robinhood and with other retail brokers where they get first dibs no matter what, even if they're not the fastest. So that's another story for another day. I will just say I love the Virtue Financial stock. Can it pull back? I mean, it's a play on the VIX. As volatility comes down, typically Virtue Financial will come down as well because we know they make more money when the VIX is higher. So it's a little bit of a negative play on the VIX. So as stocks start to go up, this kind of is a stock that moves. I actually have always owned it for a hedge. It's a stock that does well, actually, when the market starts to do bad.
All right. I'm going to keep on going from the chat. Got a lot of tickers to go through. Someone's asking about Jumia, JMIA. I asked our news desk, was there any news this morning? Because the stock's up 10%. And I'll read you the exact. I'll read you the quote. Spencer, there is never news on JMIA. It doesn't need news.
Really?
This stock has been in blast off mode for a while. I looked at this back when it was $7 or $8 in early July, and now it's 13. I'm like, wow, I missed the train on this one. I mean, there's been multiple breakouts that have worked well. Now, again, it has not worked well to chase these moves. I mean, you are up from $10 2 days ago to now 14. Does it go to 16? Does it go to 17? But it always pays more to buy the pullbacks. Again, I don't like to jump on the train when the train's already rolling down the tracks. I like to jump on the train when it's at the station and getting ready to move. So the time to strike on this would have been early July. If you look back on July the 7th, when it was, you know, rounding bottom and then the breakout, and then you get another rounding bottom mid-July and then the breakout, and then you got another rounding bottom. Did it three times. And obviously stock we don't look at enough. In late July, just 3 days ago, rounding bottom, now the breakout. So now let's wait for the consolidation, get the rounding bottom, and we'll play it again that way. But I think to just jump in here and chase, you know, if you were chasing it on day one, you know, looking back to July 9th, you take some heat. So it's not paid to really buy these huge spikes. It's paid to buy when it's consolidated after the spike.
This was one Gene talked about a while ago, too. When we had him on one of our specials, got up to 14.66 at around 5 a.m. this morning. If you were up now, trying to hold 13.60, so if you're looking for a potential target, based on the after hours trading, 14.66.
Going these tickers, pound them out.
What?
Pound out the tickers.
Okay, yeah. And before I do that, I want to remind everyone, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate that. Let's go to DraftKings. Someone wants to know if DraftKings is a sell here.
DraftKings is a play on the sports. So we're going to get the NHL playoffs coming this weekend. You know, sports are trying to come back. What's going to happen with the Major League Baseball? We still got the Marlins quarantined. I mean, there's stuff going on there. Is baseball going to end prematurely the season? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I can tell you, if obviously, you know, sports all of a sudden, Major League Baseball says we're shutting down the season, DraftKings will get killed. So there's headline risk here. With that being said, as sports keep coming back on, as NHL playoffs come back on, you know, today maybe it's predictable. NHL playoffs coming this weekend, that maybe DraftKings would catch a little bit of life ahead of that, and it did. And obviously it helps that the tech stocks are all trading higher too. So it's getting a lift. Do I want this thing? I've got the LCA. I've felt, and I've talked about this before, and LCA has been an absolute dog. I put it in there. It's been a terrible investment so far. I'm averaging from about 13.20. It's 11, so I'm not down a ton in it, but, you know, I was up a couple of times in it, and it just keeps coming back down. This is also a play on sports. So I think I like LCA better than DraftKings, but from a valuation perspective, but, you know, that hasn't worked so far.
For this DraftKings, I see major resistance at 38. You've tried to bump your head up against that, a couple times. This was earlier in the week and last week, and then yesterday, sellers stepped down 36 area. I don't know. This thing's looking kind of tired to me. If we can't get above 38, I just want to look at it. We went from 45. How big of a decline was that? 45 to 28, went to 17. You know, we're just hanging out of the 50% retracement here of this move. So it's really figure that exact number, and then you got to get above 38. This thing's just looking kind of heavy to me, and you're right. Something happens with baseball or the gambling. It had a tremendous run. Looks like it definitely cooling off with tighter ranges.
Somebody's asking about the 12 support in LCA, and it has been support, but it's been hanging out here too long. I think it's going to break down. This game could go to $10. I'm talking against my book. It could. I'm holding on to it again from a valuation perspective. I see what DraftKings is trading at, and I see where LCA is trading at. I think there's more value, but value trading and value investing hasn't worked very well. So who knows? I'm holding on to it because I believe that there's still a story here in LCA, but that support, buying on that support, when it hangs out support for too long, it usually takes it out.
No one talks against their book quite like Dennis.
Jason. Oh, I know. I do.
Jason Razzing is on his way. Let's do one more. We're being asked about Boot Barn, BOOT. They report earnings Monday afternoon. Let's look at that chart here.
What's the symbol?
Boot Barn. Boot. 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 It's been out there forever. You know what? You got a nice rounding bottom. We'll give it that. Do they have any online? I don't follow the story good enough to know. Do they have any online presence? Do they have online sales? Or this is all mall, retail, strip mall based?
I'm sure they have some online presence. It's 2020. I mean,
well, that's what I'm wondering. You know, what percentage of sales come from online? Because obviously anything that's strip mall based has been completely out of favor. The stock has been a dog here for the last couple of months. Got the ridiculous rally with everything back in May, which was just a huge selling opportunity. There are so many retail stocks that are in trouble right now. It makes it tough to just come in. But then you look at an Under Armour today, and it's like Under Armour lost a lot of money. And they lost less than they're supposed to, so they were buying it up here this morning. So, you know, the rally has faded a little bit. It makes you think, could you get just that, you know, trade where, oh, we're cutting the LB trade. We'll cut some expenses and we'll blast off. It's possible. You have nice support. When do they report?
18
Monday
bucks.
Monday afternoon. Angie is saying that they cater to folks in the oil and farming industry.
Oh,
so,
that's
so maybe it's an oil play. That's a good thought.
Boot Barn?
Yeah, she's they
got big boots.
They're clientele.
You know what I would say? I would say just one big fundamental thing working against this stock. And who's buying new shoes? I mean, you know, you're at home, you're walking around in barefoot and socks and everything. Who needs new shoes? So fundamentally, I don't like this stock. Great support at 18. So as long as hold 18 has a chance, right? Yeah. Long consolidation between 18 and 20. You're at 19. Break out over 20. Yeah, we'll make a run. Break down below 18. And not sure you'll see those March.
The only catalyst, what's the short interest? Because that's the catalyst to really any retail stock that you see really get a kickstart rally is often because it's got substantial short interest. I mean, even UA, the big pop here this morning, what is the short interest on UA? I bet you it's somewhat substantial.
So Boots only got a 24.5 million share float. So not many.
Low float there. Yeah, short interest. UA is 10%. So what is Boot? Let's go find out. BOOT. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't. Who is short Boot Barn? I want to bring our
guest. I bet there's some short interest.
Okay.
21%. Fine. I got 21. That's a lagging number there. It's 21, 22. I mean, this is always the numbers are never perfect. At a different site, you get a different number.
Jason Raznick is the founder and CEO of Benzinga. Joins us now. Jason, what are you trying to play for us?
Oh, I got in. I got in. I got a word.
Kevin O'Leary in the background playing, just jamming?
I put a police siren on to stop you guys, you and Joel, talking about UA. I couldn't get a word. I've been on for 8 minutes, 6 minutes now.
No, you were late, though. You were late.
Wait, no.
You were supposed to be on at 8:35.
Hey, why would I be on at
8:35? He's the boss. He's allowed to be late.
Joel, get with it. 8:45 is the start time.
Wait, Jason, I want to ask you about one of your stocks yesterday, Generac. They had earnings. They had a big move up, big move down. Are you still long Generac?
Big move up, big move down. What do you mean by down?
Well, the high of the day yesterday was hit, and then it – okay, it sold off significantly.
Gave back some of the gains.
I gave back some of
the gains. I did. Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. So, you guys know I've been saying this for a while on the show because I pronounce the name wrong half the time. I'm like generic. So, I bought, you know, like 10 call options and they're up a total of 501% or something. Yeah, 504%. Yeah, and the calls. And I'm usually not the best at buying calls, Dennis. I'm usually the timing. So I saw I had 10 call options. I sold 3 yesterday, 7 left. And I may sell more today. It's kind of like my Whirlpool trade. I sell 1 to 2 calls a week and I let it go. Cause the generic I'll sell more quicker because it's August expiration and the time decay. So that's,
you're in hurricane season coming too, though. So there's other reasons that GNRC could get hot. It's amazing. It's been such a hot stock, even not in hurricane season. Obviously COVID has driven it here, but there's reason to still hold on to it a little bit.
Yeah, so you're right. And then another one that's interesting, guys, that took off this week. I don't know what. I didn't read it. Maybe it was earnings, but you'll know Spencer or Joel. TAST, T-A-S-T. I know this is an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, wow.
You've been on this one for a while.
Yeah, bought it at 149, and I continue to hold it. I originally bought –
You said it was a 10. It was a possible 0 or a 10, I think you said.
That's right.
So you're holding for 10.
I bought 149. I bought like 9,000 shares. I sold 3,000 at like 3 and kept the rest to let it ride.
Right.
And
so this is interesting, Jason. They report earnings on Thursday at 8:30. So
I don't know why it popped. I don't know. I love the background to your view, Spencer. But I don't know why it popped so much this week. But I'll take it. Eli. Another one that I've been, you know, Dennis, a big fan of.
Yeah.
Callaway.
That reported last night.
Yeah, 19.10 is the price from yesterday. So what did it do last night? What's the story?
Little pop to 19.40, just kind of hanging out unchanged.
I think it reported. It was supposed to report. No, it didn't report.
It did not report. It did not report.
I don't know. It's earnings calendars here. All. I guess I got to look at the pro. I think the pro would have had it right.
Pro was right because I had to email E-Trade about these wrong earnings day.
Yeah. There's some of them that are wrong out there. I mean, some people had Facebook as Wednesday. Some people had Facebook as Thursday.
Dennis, I did a whole research on the earnings last week. I wrote to the CEO of E-Trade because like I sold one of my Generac earnings calls before earnings the day before. I needed to free up cash for another investment. And I didn't know that earnings the next day. And I'm looking at E-Trade and it had the wrong date on the front page, yeah. You know, but there it's like in some spots it's correct, some spots it's wrong. I'm trying to get it corrected because earnings, Benzinga Pro, we literally call the companies to verify earnings every time. Yeah.
Now, Benzinga Pro has an August the 14th, but it's unconfirmed, meaning you haven't called the company yet for this one because it's 14 days out. So they will probably call soon.
It's an approximation.
Yeah. Yes, he's right. Spencer's approximation. Another one that did well for us, guys, PII, Polaris.
Yeah,
Had a good week. And so I still own like DOO, like the 3Os. I own Wayfair calls still. I'm not selling my Wayfair. It's August 21st expirations. What's funny on my Wayfair is I didn't buy them too cheaply. I was down like 40, 60% on them. Now they're up like 80%. The thing with call options, when you're down a bunch, you get pissed. I should have bought more, obviously, but I didn't. I'm excited for Yeti's earnings. I think they're coming out August 6th, I think. But
let me look.
YETI, I'm still long. And
they're August 6th before the bell.
Yeah, we have it confirmed too. Yes. August 6th.
What, Wednesday?
Okay. And I'll get to Twilio in 1 second. Thanks for the question. The other one Big Five Sporting Goods had another heck of a week. So the people in this room, you know, Benzinga Pro users are making a lot of money. You know, Dennis, Joel, Spencer, Raz fans are making a lot of money, hopefully.
There's been some good calls. You've had some fabulous calls on this show here in the last 3 months there, Jason. So, you know, the one thing I just ask is, you know, what do you do when you get a trade? Because a lot of these have really worked for you. How do you manage them when they're not working for you?
It's a good question. So like VSTO at first wasn't working for me. It was down when I bought it at like 10, 11 and whatever went down. And now it's at 1691. But the one that really wasn't working for me and I was down a boatload and then it, like, okay, here's one right now that's not working for me because the other ones I was going to say sort of came back.
Yeah.
But the one that's not working for me, and you guys know it, is Delta. I bought October calls. Okay, guys? I bought October calls, like 38 strikes. Well, that thing is down, I don't know, 70%. So what do I do on that? I should have got out of it, but I didn't.
Jason, I need to interrupt you. We have to get off at 9 today because we've got the Benzinga boot camp going, and I'm going to get yelled at by the events team if we don't get off at 9. So I need to wrap
it up. Right at 9?
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts? Any final thoughts today, Jason?
LCA, I actually went out of because I needed a. I'm, you know, there's GAN.
It's not performing.
GAN.
What about GAN? What about GAN?
Yeah, GAN.
So what? So that's a good one, Joel. So GAN is not performing right now. I mean, we're still up on it from when we bought it at 1690, but it is the strength in it. I don't like right now. It powers 1/3 of the online sports betting industry. I'm not selling what I have left. I'm going to do more research. I'm holding on to GAN. I want to see it back at 25, and then maybe I'll sell into strength. I want to bring the CEO on. So, Mitch, make sure we have the CEO on the pre-market show. And then Twilio, sorry, real quick, Twilio. We'll bring Jeff Lawson on too, the CEO of Twilio. I like Twilio. I'm an owner of Twilio. Remember, I like to invest in the thing behind the thing, the thing behind the thing. Like, that's what we want to invest in. So, I like Twilio for that thing. Has it run a lot? Yes. There's reasons for it. And I'm not betting against it. I bet one time I sold it early and it was a mistake. And Dennis and Joel know the trick for that is put that stock in your long-term account and don't look at it. And that's what you have to do. And I looked at it and I screwed up and I had to rebuy it. I sold it at 110, rebought it at 170.
All right. For those of you on our bootcamp, click the Watch Live Summit in Hay Summit to go to the next part of the program. Thanks to our guests today, Jason Raznick and Harsh Kumar. If you're not in the Benzinga bootcamp, you want to go, just go to BenzingaBootcamp.com. Joel and Dennis were speaking at 12:50 p.m. Eastern time. Please remember all the information on our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or.
Sorry for being late, guys. Love you.
Hey, we're done. I'm wrapping. Everyone have a great rest of your day.
Bye. Love y'all. Have a great day.